Well, good morning. We did. We talked about Joseph last week, Mary this week. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Mary? Just hear the word Mary, the name Mary.
Young.
Young? Yeah, she was young. How about not even this Mary? Like, what if it wasn't Christmas time and we just said Mary?
Joyful?
Yeah, it has that. Yeah, it's a different word, but it also has that connotation, yeah. How about Mary and... Mary, quite contrary. Actually, if I hear Mary at any other time other than the couple weeks before Christmas, that's what I usually think of. I think of our little ditty, Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Probably because I grew up and it rhymes with my name and I got Gary, Gary, quite contrary. Children can be utterly weird, can't they? Maybe only back in my generation, but... I often think of that, but we often think of Mary and Joseph, even if people aren't going to church, even if they have nothing to do with God, she's a worldwide phenomenon. She's known. People think of Mary. We are going through a series considering characteristics demonstrated by characters near the time of Jesus Christ's incarnation, which are countercultural when compared to our own current context. As I said last week, I think we need a little more alliteration in there, some more words starting with C. That's just a fun title, long name. Hopefully it has amazing contributions to our lives as we consider these characters. And yes, we are going to look at Mary. We don't really know what she looks like, but here's an actress that played the role on the next slide. And she's probably even younger than that, but hard to get an actress of that caliber as young as she would have been, but she was asked to play that role. And not as the understudy, not as the backup person. This young girl took center stage. It was crazy how God unfolds this story. Just want to jump back and review last week as we looked at Christmas characters. Joseph, we saw that he demonstrated some characteristics of being humble. He was humble before God. He could hear God. He was open to the word of God speaking to him, and he was responsive. He heeded that. He obeyed when he heard. He responded in a positive way, not pushing it away. And in the process, he honored God and God honored him. We saw that in Matthew 1 and Luke 2. And I know on the front of your bulletins I have for Mary, both Luke 1 passage and Luke 2, that's because it does unfold Mary's story, but we're only going to look at Luke 1 today. So as we look at Mary in Luke chapter 1, first I want to just give a little bit of context, what's already happened in Luke. So Luke has already described the announcement, the prophecy, the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth. And then Luke gets into the description of Jesus' birth, and that's what we'll be reading today. And this account is tied to the first, so that's why I want to mention that we've already, in the book of Luke, he's already had the prophecy, the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth and how that's going to play out. But it's the foretelling. It hasn't happened yet. That'll come later on in Luke. But he tells about it, and these are connected together. So the portion that we're going to read, everybody's already read that, and it's tied to it in a few ways. And it's tied to it by, it mentions the sixth month in both of them. There's actually two characters that are common to the story of John the Baptist. So don't look back. Just try and think about what you know about the story of John the Baptist's foretelling. It was unfolded and told in Luke there. Almost gave one of the characters away. And then two of the same characters are in the story that we're going to read today in Jesus' story of how he was going to be born. Can you think of one or two of those characters that are in common in both of the foretelling stories?
Gabriel,
Angel Gabriel, the one making the announcement is the common person. Yeah, another one? Elizabeth, absolutely. In the first one, that's John the Baptist's mom, way too old to have a child, miraculous birth. And in the second story we'll read today, it's one of Mary's relatives, and she's mentioned there twice. Good job. Very good. So the passage assumes and it builds on the previous one. So keep that in mind. We've got John the Baptist's fourth telling of how his birth and the mighty work that God has done in John the Baptist's conception would be far surpassed in the mighty work he's going to do and is doing in the conception of Jesus, God's Son. Luke makes it clear that it was a work of the Holy Spirit in a virgin named Mary. The mighty work of God foretold of the Holy Spirit would go to do through the John the Baptist's ministry would be far surpassed and even greater by the Son's ministry. So what John was called to do, Jesus was going to far surpass that. John is called, let me get this right in his, he's called great in the sight of the Lord. That was the pronouncement before John was born. This child, John the Baptist, will be called great in the sight of the Lord. And he was called that. The passage we're going to read about Jesus today, his forthtelling birth and Mary's journey there, he will be called great without qualification. Jesus is simply great. Greater than. I mean, we can look at Hebrews. He's greater than, greater than, greater than. This is something incredible going on here. And even as we dive in and we look a little bit, we discuss this passage and with a primary emphasis on the characteristics demonstrated by Mary, keep this in mind. This is Jesus' story. And it's Jesus that we celebrate. We don't preach Mary. We preach Jesus. And it's Jesus who surpasses all others immeasurably. Not just by a little bit. Ooh, he just barely beat that guy out. No, he surpasses them immeasurably. And this is Advent. We wait, we long for, we hope in the coming of Jesus. And yes, we recognize Advent for us. We know he came. We celebrate that. But this was a longing period at the time. So try and put yourself back there when John the Baptist's pronouncement, how his birth was going to happen. And we're just at the time where Jesus' birth is being foretold. It's being a prophecy for the future. So if we can, back up as if this hasn't happened yet. And we're adventing, we're waiting, we're longing for, and we're hoping the Messiah would come. So listen, observe as we go through these. Even fire some observations out. Let's work together. But especially concerning Mary's responses and the character that she demonstrates here through this passage. As we go through Luke chapter 1, we'll just go from 26 to 56 and not do Luke 2. So on the next screen, we'll start walking through this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, and the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. We'll just stop there for a minute. We can on that slide and make some observations. Does anybody want to fire some observations out there of what's in the story? What's happening? Yeah, she didn't call Gabriel up and say, "Hey, come over and give me some news." It was a surprise visit. I don't know if everybody can hear that. I'll try and repeat the comments as they're made. Angel Gabriel comes and visits her. It's a surprise. I think God still surprises us. Probably not quite this dramatically. You might experience this. Could happen. God can work however he wants. But most of his surprises aren't this big. We actually need to be a little more attentive to catch God's surprises. But let's not miss God's surprises this Christmas. What else do you notice? What's going on just this first four verses? She was betrothed. Yeah, what's that word? There's an old English word. We don't fire that around in our life. That's a really serious, she was betrothed was the comment. So that's a really serious engagement. That's like a legal engagement. To get out of it, you needed to be divorced. It wasn't just breaking off the engagement and meh, whatever. You needed a divorce to break off an engagement. It was more legal, and to be unfaithful during that time was considered adultery. So like it was closer to marriage than it was engagement, but it's a really serious engagement. Good, she's betrothed to a man named Joseph. Other observations? She was greatly troubled at what he said. Why does it say she was troubled? What? Yeah, good. Whoa, what's this dude doing? Yeah. But it actually doesn't say, right? It doesn't say. We can guess. We can put ourselves in that place. There isn't an example in Scripture where someone is confronted with an angel where they are not troubled and fearful. They're awed and awestruck. And yeah, what's he saying? Why is he even here? Why is he coming to me? There could be a whole bunch. We can speculate on that, but it doesn't actually say. It just says she was greatly troubled at the saying. So both the saying and even his presence, I'm sure, was overwhelming for her. What's he call her in this passage? Oh, favored one. Yeah. Now, I think sometimes we've moved that into a category that is unscriptural, as in, well, she was sinless. And if we don't fully ascribe that her sins, she was sinless, then, well, she was at least, you know, three cuts above normal. I don't think looking at it scripturally, we have evidence for either of those. This is a girl, yes, she demonstrated some characters and openness before God, but she was created just like any of the rest of us. Jesus Christ is the unique creation, and he's not part of creation. He was born, but he pre-existent one. He's the only man that lived a sinless life, was fully God and fully man. And Mary is not. She's a young girl, but she's favored, and we'll look at this a little bit more later. But she's chosen by God. Favored is grace bestowed on her. Not because she earned it, but grace is unmerited favor. So God just picked her. Just like he picked the tribe of Israel. Not because they were great. The tribe of Benjamin for David's lineage to come out of. Not because they were great or something utterly special about them, but because God chose them. It's just an act of grace. I think God still works that in our lives. Not because we earned it, deserved it, but because he extends his grace and he calls us to something unique. But she is the favored one. She has grace, received his grace, and gets to be Jesus' mom. If we move on, it says, and the angel said to her, so she's troubled, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. He restates it. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. Again, without a qualifier. He will be great. Period. And will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is all about Jesus, but he's speaking it to Mary. You're going to give birth to this child. He's a descendant of David, fulfilling that prophecy. He is the Messiah, but make no bones about it. He's way more than just a descendant of David. Way more. He will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. He is way more. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. Forever, he is the king. This is earth-shattering. This is brand new way of thinking about this. And here's Mary's response to what she hears. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" So again, part of that troubledness, now he spells it out clearly, and she goes, "Huh?" Right? Like, this rocked her world. It turned it upside down. You're saying, "What?" And from, like, okay, I didn't specialize in biology at university, but I get it. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Now, some people have said that this can be translated young girl and whatever else, but from the whole story, no, it can't. It specifically says before they came together, she was found to be with child, and Joseph took her to be his wife, and before they had any union, or waited until after she gave birth to Jesus. Like, the whole story, this is a virgin. This is a miraculous birth. And it makes no sense unless it is. And that's what the prophecy was and is here. It still hasn't happened, but it's a restating a prophecy. And it's amazing. But she still is. How can this happen? So even though she's open, she's hearing, she's understanding, she's still bewildered. And that's understandable. This turns her world upside down. And reading on, and the angel gives her an answer. He doesn't go, "Oh, quit asking dumb questions." I think it's okay for us to ask God questions. Now, we can do it in a way that goes, without saying it, "You're an idiot, God," right? I mean, we've all had those questions put to us in a way where we get the attitude behind the question as much as we get the question. This is an honest question. She's just bewildered. And God, through the angel, meets her where she's at. And the angel answers her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth," so he says, here's how it's going to happen to you, "and something's already been pronounced. Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." So from a people's perspective, she's barren, she always will be, that's just the way it is. But from God's, nothing will be impossible from God. I've already demonstrated it there. And now I'm even going to do a more wondrous thing in you, Mary. The power of the Holy Spirit. Luke, common theme throughout Luke, he loves saying, the power, when the Spirit comes upon them, it comes with power. There's a similar term here, same term, as Acts 1:8. The power of the Holy Spirit comes on them as a fire, and really the birth of the new church, but we already have the birth of the church in Jesus, and we become his body. But that Holy Spirit power, and that's a common theme of, so he restates it, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you and bring this wondrous thing about. And then Mary's response to that. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." and the angel departed from her. That's a powerful phrase. I don't know if we've ever been in a position where God has said something amazing, bigger than us, right? He's called us to do something, right? How often do we immediately focus on ourselves? Here's the reasons why. No, I can't do that. You're asking me to do what? Be a part of what? And we shrink and we fixate on ourselves. She does focus a bit on herself, but in context, I am a servant of the Lord. Powerful phrase. Okay, this isn't me doing it. You're pronouncing this. Kind of restating, my trust is in you. This is all up to you. And she was literally in that position. She had no role to play. She could either go along with it willingly or not. But this is going to happen. It's a pronouncement. It's a prophecy. But that second phrase really indicates something about where her heart was at. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel, having done his work, he's completed, departs from her. It's powerful. Then it jumps to verse 39. We'll keep reading here. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Again, it doesn't say exactly what motivated her. But I want to go connect with this woman that's on a crazy journey as well. I think had to be part of her motivation. The angel mentions my relative Elizabeth. I'm going to see her because it sounds like there's some crazy stuff going on over there too. And in my crazy stuff, I want somebody that's involved in their own crazy stuff. Don't we often do that too? What a great response. Who do we go to when we're feeling troubled at the words we've received? And that what we're experiencing in life is bewildering us, it's bigger than us, who do we go to? I hope some of that can happen. Yes, we get together and we play some games and we have some food and whatever else. But I hope we're honest enough after this service that if we're bearing a burden and something is weighing on us and confusing us, why wouldn't we take that opportunity as well and say, hey, can you share this burden with me? Can we pray together? Can we spend some time together? And she arises, she goes with haste. This is important to her, that it mentions with haste. There's all sorts of words we can drill down on and observe here. But she goes with haste, not puttering around. This is important. I need somebody to walk with me. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting, just the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth ranted and raved out of her own mind. No. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She breaks into prophecy. She breaks into teaching, proclaiming who the Christ is right there. And a powerful statement at the end. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. This is incredible. What's John's ministry going to be after he's born? Yeah, making a way, right? One crying in the desert, proclaiming the Messiah. Don't look at me, he says. After me will come someone who's greater, right? John's called great in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus is called great. Unqualified. Doesn't matter what you compare him to. He's simply great. That's his job. Look at, he's doing that in the womb. Isn't that amazing? Well, he's reacting to Mary's greeting, and Elizabeth gets it. Filled by the Holy Spirit, she describes what's going on and describes it accurately. Calls Jesus my Lord, the mother of my Lord. She gets it. This is the Messiah. Isn't God truly awesome? Working through a baby in a womb, and we question whether he can work through us when he calls us to do something. He's working through someone who's not fully developed yet. I think that's amazing. Gotta have greater faith in God. And then she makes a comment about Mary's response before she heard Mary's response. She goes on in these verses, verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Here's Elizabeth, full of the Holy Spirit, telling Mary what her response was, and she hasn't even heard what the response was yet. Have you ever had somebody confirm what God is up to in your life? Even before you told them what God was up to in your life? God's that big. God's that big. He wants to meet us that personally. What an encouragement to Mary that would have been. I don't know how it couldn't have been. And you're blessed. You who believed of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And she believes and she acts. She says, may it be to me as you have said. I'm willing to play whatever. I am a servant of the Lord. I'm your servant. Blessed is he, she who believed. Now Mary's blessing has been described as many things, and I won't get into it real deep here, but the blessing that she experienced is secondary to the blessing that comes from being Jesus' mom. Like, she is blessed, but not in and of her own. She's blessed by the role she gets in relationship to her, to who is her Savior as well. As Elizabeth describes here, the Lord of my Savior. And it's, if we look in Acts, we see Mary and Jesus' other brothers are in that core group of disciples. They're blessed by their faith, by their believing, but she is even more blessed by getting to be that act of grace upon her and being most blessed for the privilege of being the mother of God's Son. That's amazing what God is, how God's unfolding this story here. And Mary said, this is what was read for us so well for us earlier. Here's Mary's response. She gets that confirmation by the power of the Holy Spirit through her relative Elizabeth. And here's this. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant." And she recognizes she has a humble estate. The low status which Mary has held in the standards of this world, she's not of high position. She's of a humble, low estate. And Jesus would be born into that and thus come in a humble, low estate, born in a manger, right? We've talked about it. We'll deal with more of that on Christmas Eve when we talk about Jesus. But she recognizes this going on. "For behold, from now on, and all generations will call me blessed." I got to play that role. "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." I think that's amazing, what she's saying right there. Yes, this is under the power of the Holy Spirit as she's responding. I think this is an inspired utterance going on here. But still, for that attitude in her heart, are we always thankful when God turns our world on its head? This radically changed her life. The response of the community, we could get into all sorts of things. But she's grateful for it. She goes, you're doing something way greater. And she receives it as a blessing. Wow. What an attitude that she demonstrates. Again, not because she's perfect, but she's got this understanding through the angel, through Elizabeth, through the Holy Spirit helping her understand this, that something is way greater than what's just going on in her life. And he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. She gets this. This isn't just for right now. This is huge. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. Remember, she comes from a humble estate, but he has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And she's got two examples right in front of her. Her own life, Elizabeth's own life. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. She breaks out of that song, and Mary remained with her, that is Elizabeth, for about 3 months, and then returned home. The song of Mary, it's an outpouring of praise, again, from that humble heart. We think of how many people have tried to make Mary almost a goddess, queen of heaven. But this song reveals that her focus is not on herself, but on the blessings granted to her by the grace of God. She recognizes she's playing a role, but it's not about her. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She puts it in perspective. I'm the created, he's the creator. She gets this, and she worships. And Mary's song introduces us to the saving work of the Lord Jesus, of what he would do when he is born, and the ministry path he would go on. Of being the one who would minister particularly to the poor and the humble and the unknown. Demonstrating his strength and his mercy. If we look at the characteristics Mary exhibits throughout this passage, it shouldn't come as a surprise that God works through similar characteristics of what Joseph demonstrated. Throughout it, she's got a humble attitude. Not proud, this is my way, not dictating, not demanding it get adjusted, but that humble surrender, he is Lord and I am not. I am his servant. He isn't the one I go to, hey, solve this thing in my life. Do this for me now. She comes as his servant. And she's able to hear the message now. An angel right in her presence. I don't know how you would miss that. But she actually hears the message and not just bewildered by the experience. Nor does she go, hey, I heard directly from an angel. I'm a cut above those of you who haven't heard from an angel, which has gone on. She doesn't do that. That humility stays throughout. She hears from an angel. She believes it. Wow. Believes him. Let it be to me. I still don't fully get it, but you're saying it. I believe it, and I'm going to act on it. It took God at his word, and even Elizabeth says, wow, blessed are you for taking God at his word, for believing him. And she is blessed. She's learned to follow Jesus as one of his disciples. And she's honored. She honors God. And she's honored. She is called blessed for all generations. For all generations. Would you join me in prayer as we consider these? Oh God, we sometimes put lots of biblical characters outside the real realm, the real world. you call us. In fact, we have the Holy Spirit with us constantly. In the Old Testament, pre your going, returning to the Father and the Holy Spirit coming, you came, Holy Spirit, in specific ways, specific times, to reveal truth, to open up the path, to open up people's eyes to what you were doing. We have the Holy Spirit abiding within us. How much more can we walk in humility before you at this incredible gift, what you have done, the miracle of us? It's not that we respond and we go, oh, I must acquire these characteristics. But like Mary and Elizabeth, be so overwhelmed with who you are and involved in hearing your message and taking you at your word, that what develops is a humbleness before you, an attentiveness to what you are saying, an ability to hear and respond in faith. You don't ask us to do the most, biggest, hardest thing right off the bat. You lead us on a journey, and we grow in our faith and trust of you. But we either grow in it or we squelch it. We hinder it in some way. And throughout all of it, you are honored when we live out of who you are calling us to be and what you are calling us to do. You are honored in us doing that, being who you have created us to be. I pray you would give us a freedom to live this out. Give us a faith to put greater trust in you than in anything else. We want to bless you, God. We've said this. Be a blessing and make you a blessing. We recognize we don't always have the attitude of Mary. When our world, whether it's a short-term or longer-term thing, is turned upside down, we want to figure out a different way sometimes. Would you overwhelm us with your presence? Help us see you, who you really are, Emmanuel, God with us, this Christmas, so that our response would be increasingly more humble, attentive, able to hear, responsive and heeded, heed your word, obey it, what you are saying, take you at your word, and that out of that you would be glorified, honored, and praised. And we'll leave the lifting up in your hands for those who you lift up. God, lead us this Christmas for your glory, for your sake. Amen.